You're listening to WSIU Powered by You. I'm Jennifer Fuller, a special guest in the SIU School of Law, Nicholas J. Johnson, who's a professor of law at Fordham University School of Law and teaches and speaks all over the country on the issue of African Americans and gun history. Have I kind of boiled that down very much, Nicholas?
Well, that's what the topic tonight is on. I've generally worked in the area of firearms law and Second Amendment issues. Yeah.
There are a lot of people, when you say gun law, gun rights, those sorts of things, and they have a very polarizing opinions the moment those words come out of your mouth. Can you talk a little bit about your research and your work and what you focus on?
So I've worked all over the spectrum. I've worked on constitutional issues. I've worked on policy issues. And the latest piece is a particular focus on, and it's more historical, a particular focus on the history of armed self-defense by black people.
And that's what brings you to Carbondale.
Yes, that's the subject of the talk tonight.
Your book, Negroes and the Gun, The Black Tradition of Arms, is what you'll specifically be talking about. A lot of people may not really think about that when they look back at history, when they look at the civil rights movement, things like that. What led you to this topic?
Well, partly it was to try and explain to people why it was that I, who some people found to be an odd character doing work on the Second Amendment, why it was that I was doing this work. And the subtitle of the talk tonight is Reclaiming the Heroes of the Black Tradition of Arms. And partly this is a response to people who just don't realize that there were lots of folks who were involved in the civil rights struggle who also were committed to self-defense. And who fought back bravely, and I don't want these heroes to get lost.
When you talk about people who are remembered in the civil rights movement, most notably probably Dr. Martin Luther King, who talked about civil disobedience but a peaceful resistance, how do you square those things?
Well, in fact, I use a quote from Dr. King, and I'll talk about it tonight. King himself crystallized the very essence of the book, where he said that self-defense was absolutely legitimate, but that political violence was something that that we had to avoid, that you're not going to achieve political ends through any sort of violent activity. And that's it's a tough line to walk, and I talk about it throughout the book. It's sometimes hard to get right, but it was a principle and a distinction that people insisted on.
We see an increase in violence over the last many years. And here in Carbondale, we're dealing with it just this very week with two shootings in 3 days, one of them a fatal shooting, and it involves African-American men. What can be learned from the research that you've done, from the things that you have found in terms of stemming that violence and creating a dialogue for people to move forward?
So this is a very tough problem. One of the things that I've done in other research is to describe how we sometimes have this sort of polarized debate because people are entrenched. And one of the reasons that they're entrenched is that policymakers sometimes overpromise in terms of what can be achieved. I try to be realistic on this. The policy issues are immensely complicated. I talk about some of them in lots of other research and research that I have coming up. But I think if people are suggesting that there is something on the shelf that is just sitting there that we can pull off, and the reason that we're not fixing this problem is that they're bad guys on the other side, I think that's false. And that's the one of the biggest things that I've tried to do in the research is to try and illustrate the complexity of the problem. There are a variety of things that go beyond gun policy that I think are answers to or approaches to the sorts of incidents that you're talking about. And so Project Ceasefire is one of those that people I think have had good luck with. I also, though, mentioned to people, for example, in New York, there's a fellow named Jeffrey Canada who has something called the Harlem Children's Zone. And those kinds of really early interventions are, I think, important measures to deal with what turns out to be sort of a long-standing problem in that precedes the sorts of events that you're talking about.
Sure. Unfortunately, we don't have a long time to talk about these things, but we still have a little bit more than a minute. When we talk about gun rights and the gun rights movement, Are there two parallel tracks here between the African-American community and the white community, or do these things come together?
Well, it turns out that once you do the detailed research, what you find is that on many issues, blacks are actually more staunch supporters of gun rights than whites. So some of the really detailed sociological work lays that out. I talk about it in the book. More recently, in one of the Pew polls, we see that 54% of blacks favor concealed carry. So I think the message gets muddled because people think, well, blacks generally vote for Democrats and Democrats are the party of gun control. But there is actually a split in terms of firearms policy between the way that blacks generally vote or overwhelmingly vote versus the degree of support for gun control.
As with so many things, a much more complicated issue than it appears on its face. Nicholas J. Johnson is a professor of law at Fordham University School of Law and a guest of the SIU School of Law. He's delivering the Gene and Katie Simons Lecture this afternoon in Carbondale. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.